All right, everyone. This is the Anthony S. with the Arizona Business Podcast. It's been a while. We're going to get back into the groove here. And my first guest is Glenn Gilchrist of Law Office of Gilchrist, Glenn Gilchrist Jr. We're leaving in because I don't cut. Glenn, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Awesome. Well, let's jump right into it. What is Law Office Glenn Gilchrist?
It is a trial practice law firm. Okay. I'm a sole practitioner. Mm-hmm. I'm a certified specialist by the Arizona State Bar in personal injury wrongful death litigation. Mm-hmm. I established my own firm in 1975, and that's what I've been doing. I'm committed to helping people and that have been harmed.
That's on 45 years.
It is.
Interesting. Why law?
That's a great question. I think that several things. During the 60s, mm-hmm. I was influenced by the civil rights movement, by lawyers that I saw mm-hmm. helping people, representing people that had been disenfranchised or perhaps harmed in different ways than personal injury, for sure. Mm-hmm. But it motivated me to want to become a lawyer.
Mm. So just like you kind of saw around, like, you know, I want to be part of this.
Yes.
Interesting. So before law, I know you a lot, but I want the audience to know you a little bit. I do believe you spent some time as a fighting man of sorts.
You're talking about the Marine Corps?
Yes, indeed.
I spent 2 years in the Marine Corps.
There you go.
I was not assigned to Vietnam, but I did have some interesting experiences. Mm-hmm. I worked in communications and also in as a court reporter, interestingly.
There you go.
And
that kind of already started the blood flowing, I bet, didn't it?
It did. And it kind of was very interesting and met some great people in the mm-hmm. in the Marines. And I think being just an enlisted guy mm-hmm. really helped me appreciate people a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, I served with people of all races and mm-hmm. ages and educational background, and at least the officers that I worked under were tremendous, mm-hmm. tremendous people.
A lot of people say that because now I've known a few Marines, that when you go through that, regardless of where you are, especially when you're younger, whether you think you're mature or you're not, or you think or you know you're not mature, it really changes you to just be around that many different people and doing what you have to do.
It does, Anthony, it really does. It gives you a real appreciation for what, you know, men and women are capable of. Mm-hmm. I saw Marines that were 10th grade dropouts mm-hmm. that used their time in the Marine Corps to get a degree in electrical engineering and go on to great careers.
Yeah.
Talented, smart people mm-hmm. that perhaps dropped out of school for one reason or the other in the 9th and 10th grade mm-hmm. that were smart. It taught me to respect everyone.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. And I want to do a segue from that real quick. When you start talking about respect and like these kind of big moral pillars, you also do some, I'd say, reenactment of one of our presidents.
I do.
Yeah. Which one do you do for the audience out there?
Well, since I'm 6'4 and lanky and speak kind of, you know, an American, there is no recording of Abe Lincoln's voice.
Yeah.
But I've read enough about it that I think do it pretty well.
Yeah.
And I chose to portray Abraham Lincoln.
Okay.
And I have a passion for that, mm-hmm. his language, his words, his mm-hmm. eloquence, and his inspiration.
So you'll go and like get the drab up with the hat and the beard and you do like events? Is that kind of the thing? Or
I do. I have a complete costume.
Yeah.
And that I had made for me. Mm-hmm. I started this about 10 or 11 years and have changed it some over the years. Mm-hmm. But I feel I know it's, I kind of like channel Abraham Lincoln mm-hmm. and I love his language. And I was at a crossroads at one mm-hmm. point. I was thinking about, well, I love language and
yeah.
leadership, language, inspiration. So there was Churchill. Mm-hmm. But Churchill's was kind of short and
a little bit, yeah.
A little bit plump.
Yeah.
So Lincoln
didn't quite fit.
I'm exactly his mm-hmm. height, exactly his weight, mm-hmm. and then I speak the American, kind of a semi-Southern mm-hmm. Accent.
What put you and Lincoln together, so on your podcast, and we'll talk about that at the end here, I was putting your guys' faces together. And I mean, it's not the ears and like the proportions are almost exactly the same. It's a little weird when I saw, like, holy cow, that he really could just be, if Lincoln, you know, didn't get, I'd say, removed from office, and for lack of better terms, he might look just like you. I think it was safe to say after I saw that. But yeah, I think that's all part of the magic.
I enjoy being Abraham mm-hmm. so much.
Yeah.
And
you have every major speech memorized. Is that correct?
I have major parts in all of, for example, the Gettysburg Address, mm-hmm. all of his letter to Miss Lydia Bixby, mm-hmm. most of his second inaugural.
Okay.
Now, his first inaugural and some of his other speeches, like at the Cooper Institute mm-hmm. in 1860 in February, they're very, very long.
Yeah.
And I have some other parts that I don't use mm-hmm. in my play memorized.
Yeah.
But if I were to say, yeah, I have all of his speeches memorized, that wouldn't be quite correct.
Mm-hmm.
But I have.
You have the big parts of every one of them.
Correct.
Yeah. That makes sense, too, because I imagine some of it's more of a, it's not even on inspirational motivation. Some of it's just saying hello, these people, you know, all this.
Yeah.
So it makes sense to memorize the important parts.
Right. Some of these, he gives a lot of background.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, in his speech at the Cooper Institute, when he was opposing the spread of slavery, mm-hmm. which essentially led him to get nominated and elected
yeah.
as president, he goes at length into the background of what he thought the founding fathers mm-hmm. would have to say about the spread of slavery.
Yeah.
So that would, in terms of an audience, when I'm portraying Lincoln, mm-hmm.
it might not connect.
It would be too much.
Yeah. Because that conversation is more for his audience in that day, in that time. That makes a lot of sense. By the way, another segue, because I know you a lot, Glenn. At this point, you and me are pretty close, I like to believe. You're also a black belt.
I am. I'm a black belt.
Isn't it? I didn't think about it until we were going to do the thing, and then I'm like, what do I want to talk about? Like, man, Glenn's got a lot of stuff going on.
I'm a black belt in a rather rigorous martial arts called Jia Shin Do,
yeah,
which means the path of inner strength.
Mm-hmm.
And I started it about 30 years ago mm-hmm. over at a fitness club.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, this is probably going to be rinky-dinky, and yeah. I'll go try it. Well, one of the great martial arts instructors mm-hmm. of all time, and Grandmaster Andy Bowman, who passed away last year, mm-hmm. sadly. But I really met some great people,
mm-hmm.
and it's a good test of myself
mm-hmm.
and what I might be capable of.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to go out and kick butt, you know, things mm-hmm. like that. That's a misconception about yeah. martial arts, but it's I've really enjoyed it, the philosophy of martial mm-hmm. arts and testing myself.
Mm-hmm. And overall, bringing all these things up, for me, it shows that, like, most of your actions, and we'll kind of round this back to business, the activities and things that you've done all have to do with almost a way of life, whether it's like honesty, whether it's like self discipline. And when you look at that, like, all those things, do you think that really has like an impact on who you are? Like what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that's very perceptive,
mm-hmm.
very perceptive. Even though we've known each other for a while, that comment is very perceptive mm-hmm. because I'm not a dilettante, somebody that just does a little bit of this or a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
Each of these things I've embraced and made a part of my life.
Yeah.
For years and years and mm-hmm. years. My practice of law, martial arts commitment,
mm-hmm.
I started it relatively late in life,
mm-hmm.
and other things I've done. My marriage is you know.
How many years on
48
that?
48 years.
48, now.
Years marriage.
Almost double my age, everybody. You're welcome back yeah. home. Do some math.
Yeah. So, yeah, I really like that question. I think it's, and it makes me think about the things that I've committed mm-hmm. to and have done.
And I bring that up because I'm on like the going up side of this, which is why I find our friendship very, I'd say, beneficial. Because I get to see someone. There's so many things we can do today. There's so many activities. And every single activity you chose along the way helped you as well as entertained. And I think that's where the gold, I'd say, like nugget out of all this is going to be, you know, what are you doing daily that you also enjoy, but also helps you grow as a person?
I think that's absolutely true. And there's things we can do
mm-hmm.
to help us grow as a person. And for everybody, it might not be exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Josh and Doe, there's other forms. There's mm-hmm. softer forms called mm-hmm. Tai Chi, things like that that are wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And people need to make choices based on who they are
mm-hmm.
and then embrace things that help them be who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my philosophy. And that's why your question was so good. It's that in my message to be with people is like with Lincoln,
mm-hmm.
this language, it's a part of me.
Mm-hmm.
Josh and Doe is a part of me. It always will be.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that it's important to pick the things we do
mm-hmm.
based on sure. who we are.
And the last thing that you're doing, I am an encourager. What's the actual name of the nonprofit? I can't quite.
It's actually I Am an Encourager.
It is the actual I Am an Encourager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've had that phrase trademarked.
Yeah.
And it's just something that came to me
mm-hmm.
in an age of polarization.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had times of polarization before.
Yes.
And I'm not using my response to your question to make any political statement.
Yeah.
But it's just that I thought everyone needs encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
And in the middle of encouragement is what? Courage.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I love the word so much,
mm-hmm.
is that encouragement seeks to inspire people
mm-hmm.
to be their best. I heard a great saying once, it was, don't worry about being the best,
mm-hmm.
be your best.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I like to impart to people. I mm-hmm. encourage them. Look, if you're down and out, there's a way out of that.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have the job you want, you'll get the job you want. Mm-hmm. Do what it takes. Figure yeah. out the steps it takes to do that job.
Find the steps and do it.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. So now let's bring this all back to business. And I think this was a good start because I want to we'll give like a full picture of who you are and then going back to, I mean, we skip things. We skipped the Boys and Girls Club. We skipped your interaction with a couple other nonprofits. And we'll maybe another day, because we could just keep going down the accolades list and it'd just be expansive. When you look at running a business, the Josh and Doe, the trying to run the nonprofit, Marines, did all those play a part in how you run the law office?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
And thank you for that. It's all a part of discipline,
mm-hmm.
commitment,
mm-hmm.
values
mm-hmm.
and a commitment to other people too.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody walks into my office for representation, they become a special part of Gilchrist Law.
Mm-hmm.
And I take the discipline I've drawn from martial arts,
mm-hmm.
the language of Abraham Lincoln, mm-hmm. all of this and his words and inspiration. Mm-hmm. What he did as a lawyer too. He was a great trial lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to embrace all of that so that when a client is sitting across the table from me, he can feel that I'm bringing that discipline. And if necessary, I mean, in martial arts, we learn how to fight.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to use that as an analogy, if I go into the courtroom, my clients can know I'm going to prepare well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to outwork the other side.
Mm-hmm.
My commitment's going to be to them.
Mm-hmm. Is there, when you, it brings an interesting question. When you do, when you put something together, when you're putting together like what you want to say, I imagine, I'm just going to take a guess and you can let me know if I'm right or wrong, that you're very particular about the wording. So I got to ask, how much of your day consists of like really trying to get that, that exactly how you want the message to come across?
That's exactly right. And a good question too, because I spend the time even on an email
mm-hmm.
to another lawyer or to a client instead of just dashing off something with misspellings.
Mm-hmm.
Try to make sure my language is good,
mm-hmm.
to say nothing of the preparation that goes into a brief
mm-hmm.
or an opening statement, a closing argument,
mm-hmm.
cross-examination at a trial.
Mm-hmm.
Our words matter,
mm-hmm.
and they matter in the context, I think, maybe in society today.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we lose track of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because people will dash off an email. And back in the old days when I started, maybe it's habit, but
mm-hmm.
and you may have heard of this too, but sometimes people that write a letter and then set it aside mm-hmm. for a few days and say, oh, do I really want to say that?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the message?
And let it mull over.
Yeah.
I think we do, it's a little quicker, but I still think a lot of people do that.
Yeah.
When you look at a lawyer's today, say someone my age, 26, they went to college, did the bar, they've been, I'd say 2 years in to their firm or whatever they're doing. Cause that's usually like the 22, 21, 22, get your degree, bar, you kind of get a couple years in, 26 would be about where you're at. And you don't have to name any names, and it's not about being mean or not like demeaning somebody else, but do you see a difference in how you prepare versus a lawyer coming out today?
The answer to that question is no.
Interesting.
No. Have there been changes? Massive. Massive changes. And how we practice, some of the rules that we practice by. For example, when I started, we didn't have advertising, lawyer advertising. It was prohibited.
Really?
So
you just had to know the person?
It was all by word of mouth.
Interesting.
And so advertising came about in the late 80s. Specialization came about. Back when I first started, a lawyer would
mm-hmm.
do wills and criminal law and personal injury law.
Mm-hmm.
And then that changed. Of course, okay. Many of us would do more of one thing than another
mm-hmm.
anyway. But it is the core of preparation, commitment, the values, the ideals of what a lawyer should be
mm-hmm.
haven't changed.
Haven't changed at all?
No.
Okay. When you think, let's go to specialization quick. I want to tap on that. Because we've talked about this a little bit. You do, what's the exact wording?
Personal injury and wrongful death litigation.
And a lot of people will say they do that. And you and me have communicated on this when we talk about your marketing. And we'll talk more about the podcast in a minute. What made you choose to do that specialization, even though the market can be saturated at times? Like what went into you choosing your specialization, I think is the overall question.
When specialization came about, I was kind of at a crossroads.
Okay.
I had done some criminal defense work,
okay.
enjoyed it, and I tried cases
mm-hmm.
as a defense attorney and enjoyed that,
mm-hmm.
gotten some good results. But I had done more personal injury.
Mm-hmm.
I had tried more. And I had the qualifications to apply for the specialization.
Mm.
So it was kind of that.
Is there requirements like a mix of in like knowledge or degrees plus like years in? Like what's the...
It's years in and it's trials.
Okay.
How many trials have you
done? Interesting.
How many cases have you worked on? can you avow that you're doing 80% personal injury, wrongful death? Well, I do 100%, but it's you have to pass these criteria with the state bar before they certify you, so that then when you go out to the public and say, I'm certified specialist, the public can know, hey,
that's the one thing he does.
That's the one thing he does, and he
and
does
if
it
not,
well.
It's like a small window of other things most of the time. That's super interesting. Now, I got to ask you, what's your biggest, and you don't have to do names, but have you had some pretty big wins?
I have.
Okay.
You know, several millions of dollars in terms of verdicts. I have tried some tough cases too, and gotten and wins. And I have also, on the appellate side of things, in other words, I have won several landmark law-changing cases in the Arizona Supreme Court.
Really?
Which are then used by other lawyers in their cases.
Oh, for sure. That's interesting. How does that feel? Because I'd liken it to being a scientist that creates a process, like has a hypothesis, and then other people use that for like their research papers. Is it kind of a similar feel? Like, is there like a gratefulness to it or like a pridefulness to it?
It's a very good feeling. It's not that a lot of people are ever going to know about it, but your name, so to speak, is on the books for posterity. I mean, people can look back and find a case about insurance coverage on the issues that were involved. There's going to be my case.
Yeah.
And that's a good feeling.
That's really interesting. Well, like I said at the beginning, we'll you know, I think we're about 25 minutes. I'm going to let that go and I'll see you afterwards. But
okay.
Let's talk a little bit about how we can reach out to you. So you got the Glenn and Abe is going to be the new podcast. We're still looking at that name, but it's essentially we'll have the first two episodes out and you have a few more coming out. This will be on there as well. How do people get in contact with the law office of Glenn Gilchrist Jr.?
They can call by phone.
Okay.
And especially in today's day and age, I mean, my phone has been around forever. It's 480-897-0990.
Okay.
But in today's day and age with Zoom and everything, if somebody would like to talk to me about a case, we use the safeguard of.
So you can do it, Howard. They can come in at a safe distance. You can Zoom it out. Phone call, the whole gambit, essentially.
Exactly. Okay. If a client says, hey, you know what, I just prefer to come in and sit at a conference room 6 feet away from you, that's great.
Nice.
Somebody says, I feel more comfortable at hooking up my computer and doing Zoom, that's fabulous. Mm-hmm.
And the website is?
The website is
gilchristlaw.com. That's easy.
And then... you know, I have my Abe Lincoln Speaks.
AbeLincolnSpeaks.com
and I am an encourager.
Okay. And there will be links. I'll put that in the bottom. So if you want to go to any of those things, you can see it once again. This will also be in his podcast. If you want to support, I definitely say do it. There's going to be a lot of great content on there. I'm super excited. Glenn, thanks for being
my first socially distanced. You've asked some great questions and I've really enjoyed this experience.
It's been a great time.
I feel like I'm communicating with people and encourage them, you know, call me for legal representation or call me to be Abe Lincoln or call me to get a t-shirt on encouragement.
And they are really soft t-shirts, by the way. This is the Anthony S., the Arizona Biz Podcast. Glenn, talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Yeah, from a distance. Yeah.